Well, good morning, girls and boys. Nice to see you all. And everyone's back again today, and we're very thankful for that. Now, before we turn to our study in Psalm 2, I want to read another passage. It's from Zephaniah and the chapter 3. We've been looking at the rebellion of men against the Lord, and also we're currently looking at God's response to this rebellion. And we've come to the last section of his response. God laughed, and then it says God will speak in his wrath. But we come to the final section, which says that God declares, "Yet have I set my king upon the holy hill of Zion." And we want to note that God, in the face of all man's rebellion, is able to state very clearly that they will fail, but he will succeed. There's a wonderful principle in God's word, and that is, in the scriptures there is set forth again and again and again the wonderful picture of how things are all going to end. All around us today, we see opposition, we see the gospel despised, we see the cause of God greatly diminished, and the voice of opposition is very loud against everything that is of God. And we could very easily despair and give in, as it were, to the awful thought that, will God really in the end succeed? And God has countered this threat of despondency by repeatedly, and I underline the word repeatedly, stating in his word how glorious will be the outcome of it all. It's embodied there in the words that we're going to be looking at this morning. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. But I wanted just to read one instance in which the Lord declares very clearly how things are all going to end. How things are all going to end. And that means we look at Zephaniah, the chapter 3, and we begin to read from the verse 14. And God says, "Sing, O daughter of Zion." We're not to despair. We're not to mourn. We're not to cry and weep. But rather, such is the glorious prospect set before us in the Bible that we're to sing. "Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord hath taken away thy judgments. He hath cast out thine enemy. The King of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil any more." That's how it's all going to end. That's when God will finalize his glorious purpose. The King will be in the midst of his people and will not see evil any more. "In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, Fear thou not. And to Zion, let not thine hands be slack. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save, he will rejoice over thee with joy, he will rest in his love, he will joy over thee with singing." It's not often we think about God singing. Now you and I have just sung a psalm. We have sung unto the Lord. We have sung about the Lord's mercy and goodness and love and kindness. But here is God singing, and he is singing about us, singing over us, singing because of the wonderful outcome that his mercy will work amongst his people. "I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly, who are of thee, to whom the reproach of it was a burden. Behold, at that time I will undo all that afflict thee, and I will save her that halteth, and gather her that was driven out, and I will get them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. At that time I will bring you again, even in the time that I will gather you, for I will make you a name and a praise among the people of the earth, when I turn back your captivity before your eyes, saith the Lord." Now I want to emphasize, these words are specifically spoken to God's people, the nation of Israel. Here is what he is going to do for them, for the remnant of them, at the end of this age. But you and I can look in and listen to what God has promised to his people, because we will rejoice with them and enter into their joy, and we will be part of that wonderful time of blessing. So I thought I would read those verses to you before we turn to the Psalm 2, and we're looking particularly in this Psalm at the verses 4 to 6. And we come to our study of the last section of verses 4 to 6. I have already indicated that it speaks of God sitting, God laughing, and then God speaking, and finally God making this pronouncement in verse 6. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I want us to notice that Christ, as God's king over all things, is established. Boys and girls, I draw attention yet again to a simple truth. Notice every word that is written. Never be careless in your reading of the Bible. Notice every word. Verse 6 says, yet have I set my king. The word set there means instituted. A few minutes ago the bell rang, and everybody took their place, got ready for the beginning of the assembly, because a new day in the school had been instituted. It had begun. It had started. And God says, yet have I set, yet have I instituted, yet have I established my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Despite all the rebellion and the fighting and the resisting and the shouting and the blaspheming and the determination to stop God, God says, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. The Lord Jesus, on one occasion, said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, we might not quite understand the expression, the gates of hell. But the more you read your Bible, the more you will realize that the gates of a city were a very important place. Not just a place to go in and out of the city, but it was the place where the city council, let's put it like that, met. That was the place where they met. That's where the decisions regarding the city and its well-being and what was going to happen and how it was to be directed, that's where they met. The authority within the city met at the gates of the city. So when the Lord is speaking about the gates of hell, he means all the authority of hell, and all the scheming and planning of hell will not hinder me building my church. I will build my church. Now I want you to notice, and here I refer you to what I said a moment or two ago, and which I've said to you many, many, many times. You notice every word. It doesn't say, yet will I set my king. It says, yet I have set my king. Past tense, I have set my king. But boys and girls, that which is spoken of here has not happened yet in time. The Lord Jesus has not been established as king over all the earth in time. That has yet to happen. But God speaks of it as if it had happened. And the reason God speaks of it in the past tense is because what God plans will happen. So that he can speak of that which he plans as having taken place, because nothing can stop it. Now you and I may say, you know, this weekend I'm going to go to a great place. But we know in our hearts it mightn't happen. It mightn't happen. 101 things could take place between now and then and just disturb those plans. We know that. But that's not the case with God. When God sets out to do something, it will be done. Nothing can stop it. Therefore, he can speak of that which he plans to do as something which is done. And although the Lord Jesus is not yet sitting as king in Zion, God can speak of it as having been done, because it will be done. It can't be stopped. And we ought to notice that. Notice the certainty, notice the assurance, the confidence with which God declares this. Yet have I set my king in my holy hill of Zion. I know time's short and I may not get this little study completed, but there's some things I want you to know. You older ones, Daniel, the chapter 7, and of course keep your finger in Psalm 2 so that you don't have to go looking again to find it. In Daniel chapter 7, we have a vision given to Daniel, and it's of the future. Daniel 7, and the verse 13. Daniel was greatly privileged, you know, boys and girls, in that God took him and showed to him his secrets. You say, oh, it'll be wonderful if God would show me his secrets. But he has. He has. Because he told Daniel. Write it all down, Daniel, so that the boys and girls in Kilskerry can read it and share in the privilege that you have. So Daniel wrote it down, and here it is. And here's what God showed Daniel, here recorded in chapter 7, and we'll read from verse 13. And I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. This is a great meeting that is going to happen in the future between the Lord Jesus and his Father. And there was given him dominion and glory and the kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Now that hasn't happened yet. That meeting between the Lord Jesus and his Father, in which the Father bestows upon the Son this great dominion, it hasn't happened yet. How do I know? Well, look at what it says. In the verse 14, there was given him dominion and glory and the kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. Well, all people and nations and languages don't serve the Lord today. There's very few in this country that serve the Lord today. And fewer in many, many other countries. And indeed, in many nations of the world, only a tiny, tiny little handful of people within the millions of that nation that serve the Lord. So this is something that hasn't yet happened, but it's going to happen. And it's that which God is speaking of in Psalm 2. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. And I'm going to give you another verse or two. It's in the last book of the Bible, book of the Revelation, and there in the chapter 11. Here again, John, this time, is given a vision, just like Daniel, and he shares in the wonderful things that God's going to do. What a privilege John had, but I tell you, John was told, write this down, so that the boys and girls in Kilskerry can share in this privilege. Indeed, all who have a Bible can share in this privilege. Revelation chapter 11, look at the verse 15. Revelation chapter 11 and the verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded. Remember, there's seven angels sound with a trumpet. And the seventh trumpet is the last trumpet. It signals the end of the age. And the seventh angel sounded,
and there were great voices in heaven, saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever.
That's what we're reading about in Psalm 2. where God, with wonderful assurance and confidence, says, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion, despite all your rebellion and all your defiance and all your attempts to stop my purpose and plan. My king will be set upon the holy hill of Zion and reign from there as king. In fact, I can speak of it with such assurance as to term it as something that has happened. I have set. The Lord Jesus is going to reign, boys and girls. There's nothing can stop it or hinder it. Now I want you to notice, and we'll finish today with this thought. I want you to notice that he's going to be established in lowliness. I say that because Zion, the hill of Zion, is not a big hill. It's not Mount Everest, the highest mountain in the world. It's only a small hill, and yet that's the hill God has chosen, upon which to exalt his Son and establish his reign upon this earth. And that has ever marked the kingdom of God. There is nothing thought of Christ's dominion in this world today. It's despised and mocked and sneered at. Open any newspaper and you'll find there in it evidence of man despising God's Son, God's Word, God's people. There is a passage at the beginning of Paul's epistle to the Corinthians, the first epistle, in which this is certainly made plain. Listen to, as I read to you, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 27 to 29. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen. Yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are. That's why the world laughs at the Church of Christ. That's why the world laughs at Christians. Because we're nothings and nobodies that God hath chosen. But he has chosen the nothings in order to accomplish his great purpose to bring to nothing the mighty things of this world. All that laugh today and despise and mock the people of God will one day be humbled and broken and laid at the feet of Christ. One day every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ, the one they mocked and sneered at, is Lord. He's Lord. That's what we see here in this psalm. God is taking us aside, boys and girls, and he says to us, yes, I know the world is raging against you, and you are in the eyes of the world a nobody and a nothing. But don't worry. I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. The victory is mine, and because it's mine, it's yours as well. You believe in me, you trust me, you follow me. Therefore, you're going to enjoy this victory that is coming into this world one day. Oh, boys and girls, what a future you and I have. What a future. We have but to wait on God's time. Are you waiting today? Are you looking forward to that time today? Are you saved? Oh, boys and girls, are you saved? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Because if you are, then you're going to be part of that day. And you're going to be a part of that day to the extent that I couldn't even begin to describe. So wonderful will be the part you will have in that day. Let's bow in prayer then. Let us all pray. O God, our Heavenly Father, we come to Thee and we pray for Your blessing upon Your Word today. Fill the boys and girls with a hope. Help them to enter into that certainty with which God speaks here. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. We thank Thee, Lord, that the victory is Yours. May we live in the enjoyment of that truth day by day. Bless the school. Undertake for it. We thank thee for all the boys and girls back again. And also for Miss Monteith being able to come in to teach after the accident in which she suffered injuries. We thank you for your mercy, Lord, and we pray your blessing upon us all now, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.